Let's look at chapter 9 of Isaiah, starting in verse 1. I'm going to start in verse 1 so we can get the context of this glorious passage. It says, "Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her, Israel, who is distressed, as when at first her he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for a burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from the time forward even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." We read this passage of Scripture in Isaiah, and it reminds me of our study that we're going through in Ephesians. We know from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, God's ultimate purpose for creating us and creating the universe was that Christ would be all in all, that he would rule over the entire universe, that everything and everyone would be under his control. He was born to reign. That is what we are told from the Bible. It's wonderful to see how the Old Testament and the New Testament make a congruent story about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We were created to be governed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Although this fact was not fully revealed to the people who lived before Jesus was born, there was definitely prophetic hints given through the prophets of God, especially in Isaiah. We see a lot of prophecy about the Messiah in the book of Isaiah. And we see that here in chapter 9. So I love this passage of Scripture because it gives us some real detail about Jesus. And we'll see from the Gospel of John how it really matches up with what we see Jesus say as well about himself. So in the midst of predicting judgment over Israel, we see Isaiah comes forth with this great news, this wonderful news that a child will be born. A child will be born. Clearly, this is a foretelling of what is fully revealed to us in the New Testament, and especially in the book of Ephesians. So if Christ was born to be the ultimate ruler over everyone and everything, then how should we respond? That is what we need to ask ourselves this morning. I think, first of all, we need to realize Jesus is a wonderful counselor. The Bible says, "Wonderful counselor." Well, in some translations, it says, "Wonderful counselor." I think both are true. I think he's both wonderful, and I think he's a counselor, and I think he's a wonderful counselor. He is a great and mighty God. Because he is wonderful, he is a great counselor. Because he has perfect wisdom. He has perfect wisdom. We know that Jesus is God, and as God, he has perfect wisdom. And we can rely on him as our counselor, as a wonderful counselor, because he has perfect wisdom, and because he has perfect love. Jesus Christ displayed his perfect love for you. God displayed his perfect love for you when he came down to this earth, was born and lived a sinless, perfect life, and then died on the cross for your sins. He rose again, and he has provided a way for us to have eternal life. What perfect love was displayed in that? He has shown us perfect love, so we can rely on him to be a wonderful counselor. When someone's counseling me, I want to know that they really care about me. Because if they don't really care about me, they're probably not going to give me the best advice. They're probably not going to give me the best counsel. But someone that I know genuinely cares about my welfare and really loves me, I can trust their counsel. And that's what we see in Jesus Christ. We see a wonderful counselor. Now you may say, how will he counsel me? How can God, way up there in the heavens, counsel me way down here? I'm glad you asked. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. This is a fabulous passage of Scripture. I love this passage of Scripture. Gordon went over this passage of Scripture yesterday in our men's prayer breakfast and brought about some fabulous truths that we need to understand today about a wonderful counselor. Jesus was born, and he is a wonderful counselor. Look at John chapter 14, John chapter 14 in verse 15. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is Jesus talking to his disciples and talking to us ultimately. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now, look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Look at verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, Jesus gives his Holy Spirit to guide us by his words. So when we recognize the love of Christ and we love him because of it, we love him because he loved us. Something happens. We abide with him. He abides with us. Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit were told, make us his home. He abides in us. And when he's abiding with us, he guides us. He's our helper. He's the wonderful counselor that we have in our hearts, speaking to us as we go our way. And we're in his word, it says. So he calls to remembrance his words. It's wonderful. Recently, we've had some folks that have accepted Christ, and we're in discipleship classes with them. And it's great to see how they grasp this concept. One lady said to me just recently, I realize now that God speaks to me through his word. His Holy Spirit speaks to me as I read his word. That's right. That's exactly what he does. I'm so grateful for a God who speaks to my heart as I read his word that he has given to us. And he guides me. You know, that brings such a wonderful peace. It really does bring a great peace to be able to read the Bible when the turmoil of life is surrounding me, and to be able to go to His wonderful Word and read it and feel His Spirit speaking to my heart. That's awesome. That brings peace. And isn't that what Isaiah called Jesus? The Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Now, this peace wasn't just referring to a peace for the nation. Although I think when Jesus comes back again, there will be a peace among all nations. But I think this has to do with peace in our hearts. Look what it says in the next verse of John chapter 14. In verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. You know, I think about Christmas time sometimes in kind of a sad sense. Because I think of some of the folks that are hurting during Christmas. You know, Christmas has a time of, has a way of revealing some hardships in our lives, bringing to remembrance some hardships in our lives. Maybe a lost loved one that we wish was with us at the Christmas season. It sometimes exposes hardships that make us wish we could celebrate more during the Christmas season, that maybe we're not as happy as we think we should be, because isn't this a time that we should be happy and festive? And so there's this sense that sometimes Christmas can bring a lack of peace in our hearts because of the circumstances surrounding Christmas. But understand something. It doesn't have to be that way. When we think about what Christmas is truly about, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the one who said by His own words that I give you peace. My peace I leave with you. Now, that is an awesome peace. What a great Prince of Peace we have in Jesus Christ. Yes, we go through trials, and God certainly has told us that we will go through trials in life. And sometimes the Christmas season can call to remembrance those trials or even emphasize those trials in our lives. But that's when the peace should kick in. That's when the Prince of Peace can do what He does best and bring peace to our hearts. I hope we'll remember that this Christmas season, that we not only have a wonderful Counselor, but we have a Prince of Peace. So when we put our faith in Jesus as our Savior, He gives us His Holy Spirit to guide us by His Word. Jesus is a wonderful Counselor. He will guide you, and that guidance will bring peace. Isn't Jesus called the Prince of Peace? Now, this doesn't just mean that we'll have peace in heaven. It means that we will have peace in our hearts right now. This is the peace that Jesus offers to us. A perfect peace, even when the trials of life are raging. This peace is possible because Jesus is the mighty, everlasting Father. Now, turn back to Isaiah. It's interesting to see how Jesus is described here by Isaiah. Jesus is described as the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Now, this brings us to the fact that Jesus really is God. It's clear to see that in the description Isaiah has of Jesus, that He is called the everlasting Father, the mighty God. So Jesus is God. Now, we teach the Trinity, but sometimes we don't understand it from the biblical sense. But I want you to see that all three persons of the Godhead are in play here this morning as we look at how He relates to us and who he is. So, Jesus is the Son of God, but he's also called the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God. How can that be? Because Jesus and God are one. And the Holy Spirit is one with Jesus and God. Now, our finite minds can't understand that completely, but we see from the Bible that that's clearly taught. All the attributes of God the Father are given to God the Son and the Holy Spirit as well. So we know these three persons are one. Now, we might not understand it, but I can be assured that it's true. A God who is infinite and almighty is who he is, whether I understand it or not. And so, who can understand the mind of God, and who can understand a lot about God? But this I know, he is three persons in one. But I love the description of Jesus as the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God. You know what that says to me? That the peace that I get from him is going to be an everlasting peace. That he has the power to give me peace right now, and that peace can last forever. That is what we have in God the Father. He is an awesome, mighty God. Let's remember that our God is an awesome, wonderful God. He has all power to do whatever he wants. This child that was born in a manger has all power over all the universe. He has perfect wisdom. He will counsel and guide you through his Holy Spirit. That counsel will bring great peace to your heart, and he will lead you to everlasting salvation. That's what he gives. That's what the child was born for. So that you could have everlasting life. So that you could have guidance in your life. So that you could have peace in your heart. That's what God wants for you. Let's remember Jesus, the Son of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that you are a wonderful counselor, that you are the Prince of Peace, that you are a mighty God. Father, I pray that as we reflect on this morning, that you would just work in our hearts, that we would praise you right now where we are, that we would praise you for Jesus, your only begotten Son, coming so that we could have everlasting life.